Hello and welcome to this week's Inside OSU podcast. I'm Dr. Kenneth Sewell, Vice President for Research at Oklahoma State University. It seems like when it comes to rainfall in Oklahoma, it's either feast or famine. In the battle between flood and drought, monitoring soil moisture is critical, especially for farmers with their crops and firefighters fighting wildfires. My guest today is Dr. Tyson Ochsner from the Oklahoma State University Department of Plant and Soil Sciences. Dr. Ochsner is working on new methods of measuring soil moisture, including the use of cosmic rays. Now, one quick note, today's interview is recorded at one of our OSU Research on Tap events. Research on Tap is held the third Monday every month at Stillwater's Iron Monk Brewery, and this gives the public an opportunity to hear about some of the groundbreaking research being performed at OSU. If you happen to hear a bit of background noise, it's just our audience grabbing some snacks and drinks. With that, here's my interview with Dr. Tyson Ochsner on this week's Inside OSU podcast. I understand you're a soil physicist.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So before you tell us what a soil physicist is, or maybe that's what this whole talk's going to be about, but how did a kid from Chattanooga, Oklahoma, wind up as a soil physicist? So how did you get into this at all?
It's a great question. It's one I ask myself almost once a month or so. How did I get into this? Honestly, I think for me, it goes way back. So I grew up on a family farm down there in southwest Oklahoma. My dad's still farming down there. My grandfather, great-grandfather, going back to 1909. And so it's a dry part of the world. Tillman County is one of the most drought-affected counties in the entire U.S. Rain was really important to us. When we saw the rains coming, we all paid attention. It's flat down there, so you watch them come, and maybe they miss you or go to the north or south, or maybe you get the rain. And so we just paid attention to that water because we knew it was so important to our life as a family. And so I got that fascination with water early on, even as long as I can remember, elementary school. As I got a little bit older into high school, that's when I started to pay more attention to soil. I got interested in, I started doing land judging contests through FFA. I got into giving speeches about natural resource conservation and things like that. And so I started to take that interest in soils. I came here to OSU. I started off in biosystems and ag engineering, and enjoyed it there, enjoyed the people, but it wasn't quite a fit for me. I ended up switching to environmental sciences, which was my undergraduate major, and finished grad school here. Got married, married my lovely wife, Stephanie, right over here. Everybody give it up for Stephanie. And so, went to graduate school.
Finished your undergrad here.
Finished my undergrad here and said, okay, I gotta go to grad school. Looked at Cornell, North Carolina State, Iowa State. And really just gelled and connected with one of the professors there at Iowa State. And I said, this is the guy. This is the guy I want to learn from, that I want to study under. And he was a soil physicist. And so that's how I became one.
So now you're back here on faculty. It's your alma mater. Thank you for coming back.
Cowboys, happy to be here, Pokes.
How would you characterize the major thrusts of your research program?
Yeah. I think we can broadly think of it as kind of two parallel tracks. So we spend a lot of our time and effort developing new and better ways to monitor how much water is stored in the soil.
Stored.
So soil moisture.
Okay.
How much moisture is in the soil and how that varies in space and time. And then we also spend a lot of time and effort developing new uses, new ways to use this soil moisture information that we're measuring.
So this first thrust then, where you looking at ways to measure and monitor the moisture in the soil.
Yeah.
New ways. I mean, they taught us to pick
right,
it up
grab
and feel it.
Feel it. And, yeah, you know, look but, at it.
So describe some of these new ways to measure. Measure soil.
Okay, well, so I'll just name off a few. So we've been doing research about using distributed temperature sensing to measure soil moisture. That involves lasers and fiber optics. We've been doing research about using GPS signals. So the same GPS signal like you've got in your phone or whatever, there's a way to use that signal to monitor how much moisture is in the soil.
So not some other device that you're monitoring where it is.
No,
using
the actual GPS signal itself.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So So there's that we've been looking at. We look at a wide variety of different types of sensors that you can bury in the soil. And then more recently, we've been paying a lot of attention to using cosmic rays as a way to monitor soil moisture.
Okay, so this is where this cosmic ray thing
comes
in.
Yeah, that's where the cosmic rays
come in. So let's, I'm not sure that I even know what a cosmic ray is.
Okay,
so help us understand this and how in the world you use cosmic rays to measure soil.
All right, here's the physics part.
All right, physics, uh-oh.
Okay, so
everybody get a drink, because he's gonna talk about physics.
So cosmic rays are high energy particles, subatomic particles that are coming in to Earth from the galaxy all around us. They're coming in all the time. They're very, very high energy. They're mostly protons. It was one of the great science mysteries of the 20th century to figure out what cosmic rays actually were. Now we know that they're mostly high energy protons come in and they collide with some of the molecules in the atmosphere. So when that proton smacks into a molecule, it might hit the nucleus of an atom. And if it happens to do that, it might knock a neutron out of that nucleus.
Okay.
So now we've got this high energy neutron that's flying around, and it may smack another molecule, it may knock out another neutron. And so we end up with like this waterfall or this cascade of fast neutrons coming down to the land surface.
Okay, so the protons are the cosmic rays.
Yep.
The neutrons are getting knocked out by these cosmic rays hitting us. And somehow you pull out your cell phone and that tells you how much moisture is in the soil.
Yeah, we don't do that with our cell phones. So so here's the idea. So you got the neutrons, they travel a really high rate of speed. Okay, they've got, you took physics, right?
Oh yeah.
Okay, all right, so they've got an atomic mass unit of one. That's what they weigh, is one atomic mass unit. They're flying around, and the only thing that's really good at slowing those down is the nucleus of a hydrogen atom has the same mass, also atomic mass unit of one. So when they hit each other, a lot of the energy is gonna be transferred to the hydrogen and that neutron is gonna get slowed down. So the more hydrogen we have, the fewer of these fast neutrons we're gonna have running around.
And where do we find hydrogen?
So if we're not by the ocean or a lake, if we're walking across the land, the hydrogen primarily is in the water that's held in the soil. So the more water we have there, the fewer of these fast neutrons we're going to detect above ground.
So you can measure the speed of neutrons. That's something you know how to do.
Yeah, you measure the energy level.
The energy level, which is how
we're
fast
related
they're moving
to the speed,
around.
Yeah, yeah.
And so the more of those there are.
Yeah. So the more of those fast neutrons that we have, the drier the soil is. And the cool thing about this technology is you don't have to put anything in the ground. So you've got this neutron detector like this that's above ground, and you can sit there and it can monitor the soil moisture in a large area around it. Or if you get a big enough neutron detector, you put it in your pickup truck. I brought my truck, it's right outside, so you put it in that pickup truck and drive it around, and you can monitor the soil moisture while you're driving.
Okay.
Nothing's touching the ground, except, of course, hopefully the tires of your pickup.
Yeah. Wow. So it sounds really like an amazingly cool way to measure water moisture in the ground, but in a way that you didn't have 15 years ago.
No, this is new. This is totally new. Yeah, so this is on the basic science side, what this is doing, it's given us a way to see something that's always been around us and we could never see it before. You know, just because something's invisible doesn't mean it's not real.
Yeah.
Right? You cannot see generally the water that's held in the soil and how it varies from place to place and how it varies from one time to the next. We're just surrounded by that ebb and flow and it's invisible to us. But now with these kind of technologies, we're starting to be able to see these patterns that we've never been able to see before.
So the nerd in me just thinks it's cool because you can do something you didn't used to be able to do.
Exactly.
But now that you can do something you didn't used to be able to do, sounds like there might be some useful,
that other part of what you can do
with this information.
Yeah. Right. So if we improve our measurement technologies, then what can we do with this information? How can we actually put it to use? And so in our group, we have been exploring uses like sort of the obvious one, using soil moisture information for agricultural drought monitoring. We've explored using it for wildfire danger prediction. So before you came to OSU in 2012, we had severe wildfires all through Payne County. And so we've been studying how that's related to soil moisture.
Soil moisture is going to be related to the amount of immediate fuel capacity of the
moisture content of the vegetation, which relates to its ability to burn. And so then we've also been looking at stream flow forecasting, so be able to use soil moisture information to forecast future stream flows. So those are some of the kind of applications
so
we've
stream
been looking
flow
at.
Forecasting would help you anticipate even what a weather event might do to flooding?
Yeah, so that would be kind of in the context of managing our reservoirs.
Oh, okay.
So we're thinking about, if it's on the flood side, if we anticipate really high stream flows, do we need to be releasing more water in advance so that we have more storage capacity? Or on the flip side, if we're going into drought, according to the forecast, maybe we need to start to ration that water a little bit sooner.
Holding that water back into the reservoirs.
Yeah.
We've had a lot of rain this past year. It's caused some flooding.
Yeah.
But of course, we've also had droughts. You mentioned your county, where you're from. I mean, you talked about the reservoirs. How does that turn into useful information beyond the guy or gal operating the reservoir gates?
We're working on it. Okay. And so let me tell you where we're at right now, and then maybe we can say a little bit about how we're going to get there. Okay. To deliver that useful information. So the work I'm speaking about now is actually by one of my current PhD students, Brianna, who's right over here. Let's give it up for Brianna. all right. So shout out to Brianna. So what she has shown in her research is that she can get the soil moisture information for April 1st and use that to effectively forecast how much stream flow is gonna occur between April 1st and the end of July. So in the next 4 months, we're able, using soil moisture information, to make pretty good stream flow forecasts. And she's shown that for Arizona, two places in Oklahoma, and then also in Georgia. So across a pretty wide climate gradient. And this is something that's never been demonstrated before. So we're excited about that ability. So for example, it's been a wet year, right?
Yep.
We've had a lot of stream flow. There's the Fort Cobb watershed. So down here in Southwest Oklahoma is the Fort Cobb watershed. She made a forecast on April 1st, how much could we expect? And based on her forecast, it was saying a near record level of stream flow for that watershed, about 4 inches of stream flow, which is really high for that watershed. Well, months passed by, we got through the end of July, she checked the forecast and it was within about 1% of the observed value. Now I think maybe we just got lucky there, but but it does look promising. So
we've got weather monitoring equipment stationed all around the state, certainly around the country, but we know in Oklahoma we've got really good monitoring equipment stationed all around. Are we going to see a time when we have neutron detectors stationed around in a manner, and what would that look like if we wind up using this technology to get a fix on our soil moisture?
It's possible. So we have a good soil moisture monitoring network now through the Oklahoma MesoNet. We're going to be meeting with them tomorrow, talking about some of these issues, and they are continually seeking ways to make that better.
So I was kind of referring to the MesoNet, but I realize we probably, for people who may not know exactly what the MesoNet is, describe that just a little bit.
The Oklahoma MesoNet is our network. It's got 120 monitoring stations across the state, at least one station in every county. They're measuring the atmosphere, and they're measuring the soil.
Whether you know it or not, you've probably seen one of these things.
Yeah, right.
It's just a little monitoring station.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so again, kind of the thrust of our research is, how do we take that awesome observation network and put it into that information into a way that people can use it? So we had a drought in 2010, 11, 12, well, through 14. And there's an irrigation district in Southwest Oklahoma in Jackson County, and their lake went dry. and they had over $200 million in crop insurance payments in that one county alone from that one drought event. So the goal here is to be able to not, you know, to give them earlier warning, to say in the spring, say, hey, look, it looks like you're not gonna have the normal amount of water you're used to managing, and you better start to put some conservation plans in place. And so we're not to that point yet where we can give that kind of management guidance, but that's the direction we wanna go with this kind of research. And it's not just here, we got colleagues here from China, and they are also working on expanding their soil moisture monitoring in China to address the major groundwater issues they're facing over there. So this is a global kind of issue that a lot of nations are trying to address.
And we're kind of an interesting laboratory, being a state where we, in any given year, we'll have parts of the state that more water than you know what to do with, and other parts that are in drought, and we have some of these major events.
Because we're an awesome laboratory for our climate, our soils, our land uses, and because of these great monitoring networks that have been put in place by people long before me, and maintained by others than me, and they've created a great opportunity for this kind of research.
Okay, fantastic. I want to ask a big picture question. So why this kind of research? I mean, you talked about where you came from and how you got interested in water, but I know some of the other things you get involved in, in beyond this, so I'm really wanting to know what's driving you here.
Yeah, well, so when it comes down to motivation, if I can just be transparent about it, I think for me, a lot of this kind of goes back to just my desire to want to follow Jesus and his sort of teaching to kind of live a life that's based on love. And I try to reconcile that, like, okay, OSU wants me to do research, and how does that go together? And so I think more and more for me is trying to move and guide our research in a direction that's really about how can we use what we learn about soil and water to enrich people's lives and perhaps to save people's lives. If we can go that direction with our research, I think I get excited about it. And not just our research, our teaching as well, but that's something that I can get excited about, that I can get passionate about, and I think it keeps us going as we kind of endure some of the difficulties along the way.
Many thanks to Dr. Ochsner for sitting down and talking with me about his fascinating research. You can find out about future OSU Research on Tap events by following us on Facebook or by going to research.okstate.edu. And you can view archived installments on OState TV. Just go to Research in the About OSU section. And that's it for this week. I'm Dr. Kenneth Sewell. Join us next week for another Inside OSU podcast.